The blue of our Caribbean is not a gift. It is a debt we are still paying. For decades, we have been told that our survival depends on how well we can sell our horizon. In the 1970s, a new blueprint was drawn for our islands. It was a plan that traded the old sweat of the cane fields for the polished lobbies of mega resorts. We were told this was progress. We were told that the sun and the sand were inexhaustible. But the environment does not negotiate. Every concrete pier poured into a reef, and every mangrove forest, cleared for a sunset view, carries a hidden price tag. We are living through a quiet siege, where the very beauty that draws the world to our shores is being dismantled by the infrastructure built to host them. The conflict is no longer just between nations. It is between the economy of today and the ecology of tomorrow. Our history is being paved over, and the bill is coming due. Our story changed in the 1970s. The old colonial empires were receding, and new local governments were looking for a way to pay the bills. The sugar industry was dying, and the banana trade was under threat. We needed a miracle. The miracle was called mass tourism. We moved away from the inland soil and toward the fragile edge of the sea. This was the birth of the mass tourism mandate. It required a specific kind of landscape. It required white sand that stayed white and water that stayed clear. To get it, we began a massive engineering project across the archipelago. We viewed the mangroves as swamps. We saw them as breeding grounds for mosquitoes and obstacles to a clear ocean view. We ripped them out by the thousands. We did not understand then that those tangled roots were the only thing holding our islands together. Those trees were the kidneys of our coast. They filtered the runoff and held the soil against the tide. When they died, the land began to bleed into the sea. The water turned cloudy. The seagrass beds choked on the silt. We were building a new world on a foundation that we were actively destroying. The hotels rose high and white against the horizon, but the buffer zones were gone. We created a polished facade for the visitor, while the natural defense system of our home was being hauled away in dump trucks. The stakes were invisible at first. The sun still shone. The tourists still came. But the ground beneath our feet was becoming less stable with every passing season. In Barbados and Jamaica, the north coasts were being transformed into a continuous wall of concrete. The local fishermen found their paths to the water blocked. The sea grapes and the almond trees were replaced by imported palms that could not hold the sand. We were terraforming our home to match a postcard. Every hectare of mangrove lost was a hectare of protection stripped from our children. We were trading our long-term safety for a short-term influx of foreign currency. The blueprint was set, but the cost had not yet been calculated. As the first mega resorts opened their doors, the very land they stood upon was beginning to slide toward a collapse we could not yet see. The shoreline became a battleground of private interests as the 80s and 90s arrived. The scale of development shifted from local guest houses to massive all-inclusive enclaves. These were cities within cities. They did not just sit on the land, they consumed it. In places like the Dominican Republic and the Bahamas, the physical map of the coast was redrawn. Public paths to the water that had been used for generations were suddenly blocked by high walls and security guards. The beach was no longer a common right for us. It was a private asset for the shareholder. This privatization did more than divide our people from our sea. It concentrated the environmental pressure on small sections of the coast. The waste from these massive complexes had to go somewhere. In many cases, it went straight into the water. High levels of nitrogen and phosphorus from sewage and landscaping fertilizers began to feed deadly algae blooms. The coral reefs were the first to suffer. They were smothered. A healthy reef is a living city that protects the land from the power of the Atlantic. A dead reef is just a pile of rock. We watched as the vibrant colors of the underwater world turned to a ghostly gray. This was the era of the great silence beneath the waves. It was during this time that the Caribbean monk seal was officially declared extinct. It was a creature that had survived for millions of years, but it could not survive the loss of its quiet beaches and the pollution of its hunting grounds. The seal was the first major casualty of the new economy. Its disappearance was a warning that we chose to ignore. We were trading a permanent biological heritage for a temporary line of credit. The sea was becoming a desert, and the walls around the resorts were getting higher. We were losing the very thing we were trying to sell. The ocean was no longer a partner in our survival. It was becoming a victim of our ambition. The midpoint turn was here. The reefs were gone, and the sea was rising. The trap was set, and the doors to our beaches were locked from the inside. We are now living in the age of the consequence. The storms are no longer just weather events. They are indictments. When the massive hurricanes of the last decade hit our shores, they did not find the mangroves or the healthy reefs that once blunted their power. They found concrete and clear-cut coastlines. In 2017, the water surged inland without resistance in places like Dominica and the Virgin Islands. The loss of life and property showed us the true value of the nature we discarded. We are seeing a new kind of conflict emerge. It is the fight for the blue economy. On one side are the governments pushing for deep-sea mining and further coastal expansion to pay off national debts. They see the ocean floor as the next frontier for extraction. On the other side are the grassroots movements of our people. From the hills of Grenada to the shores of Jamaica, local communities are standing up. They are fighting to protect the last of the endemic forests and the remaining fish stocks. They are proving that conservation is not a luxury for the rich. It is a survival strategy for the poor. The conflict has moved into the courts and into the streets. We are forced to ask if an island can be truly independent if it does not own its own air or water or soil. The legacy of the last 50 years is a landscape that is both beautiful and broken. We have built wonders of glass and steel, but we have weakened the bones of the earth. The final tally of this era is still being written. We are at the point where we must decide if the environment is a backdrop for a vacation or the literal ground of our existence. The tide is coming in, and the walls we built are starting to crack. The cost of our progress is now visible in every receding beach and every empty net. Our history is a warning that the sea always takes back what belongs to it. The only question is what will be left of us when it does.